The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Jeez.
Oh, that was a, it's like, that was a real one. That was a real one.
That's how you start it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 805 went down the wrong pipe. Sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. Ooh. All right, ooh. Well.
Trying to kill me.
Yeah, hopefully not. No, no, we got to, not at, for another hour or so. So are we ready to roll? Huh?
Are we? You tell me.
I'm with sure, it, dude. Man. I'm with
this
it.
Is your world. I'm just living in it.
On that note, hello and welcome to the NPC podcast, where James almost died, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of video games. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there, there are a lot of NPC podcasts out there, and we're here to help them to stop. They are polishing bone. Anyways, so... Sorry, I made myself laugh at that Simpsons one. No? Nobody? Alright, fine. Fine! Anyways,
sorry, I was reading and I totally didn't hear it, so I'm sorry.
I said, God damn it. Anyways, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me is James Prisuela.
Howdy.
And Alex Cordova's right over here as well. He's right there.
While you were reading
Howdy
that,
too.
In my head, it was like, da da da, hey!
See, two Simpsons references, all right.
That's what was going on in my head.
Jesus. Well, we're going to kick off with, probably one of the bigger stories, I would say. So I'll kick this one off because I usually do the Nintendo shit, but talk about the Nintendo Direct. So, good old House of Nintendo topped off Summer Game Festivities, which I totally horribly spelled right there, with a Direct of its own, dropping major first-party announcements like the Super Mario RPG Remake, Luigi's Mansion 2 Remaster, a new Princess Peach game, a lot of Pikmin shit, and the acid trip known as Super Mario Wonder. Also, a surprising amount of third-party games like Arkham ports, Metal Gear Solid Remastered Volume 1, that fucking Sonic game that looks worse than the PS5 version. The usual stuff. So, with that, what do you guys think of Nintendo's latest showcase to us peasants?
I feel very festivivious.
Festivivious, yeah.
Festivivious. Honestly, I was a little upset that we didn't get our Thousand Year Door remake announcement, but the Super Mario RPG remake announcement more than made up for that, because that's huge. Like, what a good fucking game to update with new graphics and bring back. Like, that's really cool, and it looks awesome. Like, it's the newer age Mario animation that's been in the 2D ones and the new Super Mario World ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. I don't know if they said that there was going to be extra stuff added or it's going to be a one-for-one story. But either way, it's really cool.
I mean, from what I've seen, fans have they've noticed stuff in the UI, and they're like, oh, there are some changes, mm-hmm. but they don't 100% know what they're going to be yet. So it could be quality of life shit. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But I will say that the way they announced it was hype as fuck. I was like, oh, hey, that looks like the sprite from, and then, whoa, what? That was weird.
I thought we were just going to get it announced for the virtual console thingy. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's coming to the Super Nintendo thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, when they dropped the whole, changing the graphics and all that, I was like, oh, Nintendo, you sneaky son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You sneaky devil, you.
Relax.
it is a little weird that they are remastering Luigi's Mansion 2. Because, I don't know, I feel at this point they should have, if they're going to do anything with the franchise, they should, remake the first one,
They did for the 3DS.
Yeah, I know. It's not the Switch.
It's not the same.
That's why they're probably counting it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I say do the Pikmin thing. Give us 1 and 2, man. Give us 1 and 2 at a discounted price like they're doing with Pikmin. I'm with it.
That's fine. I'm cool with that, too.
Except no one plays Pikmin, dude. Like, they play Luigi's Mansion.
That's true. Pikmin is much smaller numbers.
I would say very...
Shout out to
very targeted.
Shout out to the only Pikmin player we know, Hector, if you're listening.
Oh, he's fucking Olimar. That's right. Stupid.
I think Enrique.
Oh, no. Enrique likes Pikmin, too. That's right.
Yeah, Reeks actually plays Pikmin, though. But Reeks is all about that tactical shit. And, of course, also Super Mario Wonder looks fucking weird. Like, it looks good, but it looks really fucking strange. I don't know how to describe it.
So what you're saying is you don't want to take shrooms and play it.
Oh, I think that's why I do. And why I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this seems like all the dev team got really lit. They had, like, a midsummer experience in Sweden and just fucking came back with this game. Like, it's weird. But Elephant Mario, you know, only a little Uncanny Valley there. Only a little. But,
yeah, I mean, it looks, you know, 2D Mario. Let's get it.
Yeah, they finally get to play as Daisy after, like, what? 40 years? Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that I saw that when they announced the Arkham games, the trilogy, that they can even get that running on the Switch. But then I saw that in the, you know, the fine print, there's only going to be, I think Asylum is going to be the only one on the cartridge.
Yeah.
City and Night are going to be downloads. So
I am surprised Night isn't Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be
weird. It is from, like, 2015 or 20... It is an old-ass game.
True, but, like, that PC port they launched with was fucking horrible. Like, it was game-news-worthy, like, what is wrong with Rocksteady? Bad. And now it runs on the Switch?
Huh? Yeah, but PC ports, sometimes they have to change it to buff it up, mm-hmm. not buff it down.
Oh!
So I think it's easier to buff it down...
That's a good
point. Than it is to buff it up.
That's a very good point. All
right. I certainly want people to play the Arkham trilogy because it's incredible, but I don't want them to play it on the Switch, so don't. Because just that game is so good not on the Switch. I just don't think it's going to... I think it's going to look like shit, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Asylum and City can look good on the Switch, but I think Night might... I don't know. Night's going to be kind of funky because we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. And then, of course,
I was going to say, I was a little hyped that they announced even more info for the Metal Gear Solid Remastered Volume 1 collection. Because, of course, in the Summer Game Fest, they were saying, 1, 2, and 3. And then, like, Nintendo is the one that says, oh, yeah, and then you're also going to get all those old school Nintendo Metal Gear games, you know, the OG ones, and even, like, two versions of each of those. So that's like, four more games. And not only that, but you're going to get, like, a digital strategy guide, a fucking script, like a screenplay almost for the game, which I don't think they've ever released that in anywhere else.
No, but that's some Kojima-ass shit right there.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then you get the whole, like, digital soundtrack, you know, so you can listen to that Snake Eater song on your Switch. Yep. So I'm definitely not going to get it on the Switch, but I guess if that's your only option, then, you know, kudos to you. I'd rather get it a little beefy on the PlayStation 5.
I play most shit portable, so I might have to get it on the Switch. They're old games, so it's not going to be that bad. Well, but right, I
guess you know what? You buy it on your Xbox so you can experience Snake Eater the way it's supposed to be experienced.
It's originally a PS2 game.
And it still looked like shit on this fucking Switch.
Wait, so do we know for sure now that it's the subsistence version? Or
I believe that's what they said.
It is, yeah. I believe they confirmed it.
Oh, okay.
Because the Metal Gear Solid 1, you're getting MGS1 and Integral, which is like the VR missions built into that and shit, which is pretty awesome. And then 2, I believe you're getting Substance. I'm not sure if they licensed out that... skateboarding game that was horrible, but you know, if they did, then I guess. And then Subsistence, has all that extra stuff in the new camera angle, so.
Yeah, that's what okay. Well, and still Twin Snakes lives on GameCube jail, but it's fine. Yeah. Maybe for the next one, which we'll be discussing in a little bit, so. Maybe. All right. Who wants the next one? Who wants it?
I'll grab so this guy can cover his baby next. Dude. I said it. So the courtroom... Oh, sorry. Sony is apparently not going to be sharing PlayStation 6 plans if Activision gets purchased by fucking Microsoft.
Mm.
So where we thought the battle between Sony and Xbox was not raging anymore, it's apparently still raging.
Very much, yes.
The courtroom dick measuring continues as Sony has declared it will withhold development info and resources from Activision for their next iteration of the PlayStation should the deal with Microsoft go through. The reasoning behind this is because Microsoft thinks they're awesome and said that they, quote, are planning to destroy Sony, end quote, according to recent emails. And part of this destroy effort is these court proceedings that leaked the alleged price of the handheld Project Q, which is supposed to come at under $300. That means, who knows, it could be $200, $250, but under $300, allegedly.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be under $200, because they would have said under $200.
Yeah, this should... I'm thinking $250, like you said.
I'm thinking $250. To add to this, there's also, I don't know if it's confirmed, but a rumor that Starfield was actually going to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive, and Xbox got mad and purchased Bethesda because of that.
I mean, again... based off of Microsoft's actions this whole time, they are petty bitches.
Yeah. Oh, these articles that come out every other day are just so petty. I love it, man. I'm here for it. Like, the fact that Microsoft is internally saying we need to destroy PlayStation. It's like, with what?
They're like fucking Daffy Duck. They're trying to destroy bugs for no reason, and it never works. And it's like, bro, focus on your first party games and stop doing this stupid shit. Like, it doesn't. It's not helping. It's not helping your reputation, and you're literally pouring resources and time into something so fruitless. Like, look at Nintendo. At least Nintendo's like, hey, we're gonna have some directs and we're gonna show you some games. Everybody's like, fuck yeah. They may not be winning the console wars, but they're doing something.
Nintendo's just like Tweety Bird, dude. They're just happy to fucking be there.
And fucking Xbox is over here fucking twirling their Waluigi mustache, dude.
This shit is so good because these things, like, there's so many developments that come out. It's like, we would literally have news stories for this every episode, like multiple.
Really, really.
Because even today, or maybe yesterday, it dropped that there was another internal memo where Microsoft was saying that they were going to buy Bungie, like, exclusively before PlayStation. But they, once they saw that PlayStation was interested in them, that they played, like, the whole, like, oh, yeah, no, we don't want Bungie, go ahead. And then, like, PlayStation actually bought them. They're like, oh, fuck, they actually did buy them. Like, what are we going to do now? And so it's like, it's just so stupid that all this shit is just coming out in the internal emails. And then I guess Bethesda is making an Indiana Jones game, and now that's going to be exclusive to Xbox.
Yep.
Like, that's going to be a system seller. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Indiana Jones, but PlayStation has Uncharted. So,
yeah,
you know,
there's no precedent for good Indiana Jones games. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. Like, it's getting licensed out and it's getting produced underneath the Microsoft umbrella, correct?
Yeah.
So why would you forego the millions of dollars you can make by making it multi-console? And then they're like, no, we're just going to give it an exclusive for Xbox because we're fucking stupid.
It's because they wanted to destroy PlayStation with Indiana Jones.
It's because they didn't hold anything.
Yeah. It's death by a thousand cuts, despite not selling a whole lot of games and systems comparatively. But it's fine, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not have your CEO be like, okay, yeah, we lost. Maybe that. Well,
that's the other thing. I don't get what they're doing, because, like, one minute they're playing the pity game, like, come on, we lost, let us have this. And the next they're like, nah, fuck that, we're going to destroy PlayStation right now with this. And it's like... it's so good every week.
And that's their big fuck you to Sony, is like, well, we're going to reveal that you're going to sell Project Q for under $300. Everybody's like, okay, we kind of already knew that.
See, they're like Mac from Always Sunny. It's like, I'm playing both sides. Yeah. Play both sides. I always come out on top.
Wild card, bitches.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just going to get juicier because the deal's not even close to being done anymore.
I mean, as a podcast that covers gaming, please, Microsoft, keep doing shit like this. We could talk about it in every episode because it's great. But also, stop. Just focus on your games for once in your damn life.
It'd be nice if they had revealed games and, like, actually had more of a stake in this fight.
And, you know, not fucking release cinematic trailers of said games.
It's in engine, James.
Sorry.
CG'd in engine in a way that's never going to look like actually when playing. It's fine.
Right?
Yeah.
The Q too. Project Q, man. I'm sorry. As much as this shit is like, fuck Microsoft, Sony, come on. Under 300, more than 200, it's not going to be good. Not for a Wi-Fi system.
One's buying it if it's over $199.
I was going to say that. Like we've been saying, $200 is... already too much.
It's already too much.
Already too much. Like 150, 175 maybe, 189.99. Let's go there. How about that? Then that's so, fair.
A DualSense controller by itself costs $70 nowadays. Yep. $69.99, right?
Yep.
Then they have that like $180, $200 like... what's it called? The elite version of the Microsoft controller where you can like change out parts and I guess,
yeah,
you know, back pedals and all that shit. So, like, I know they're going to sell it for over $200. They're going to go $250, maybe even $299, right? Because they think that people are going to buy it. I, as a hardcore, even PlayStation 5 enthusiast, I would not buy that if it wasn't over. Even $199 is still pushing it, but that's like a... I guess I can use this type of thing. I don't think it's gonna take off. Like,
no, I mean, you know. I don't ever play. I mean, you can't obviously, but even if I had the option, I just don't think I would ever play PlayStation Portable. But if they offered something like $150, and I'd be like, you know what? Okay, that's kind of fair. I'll go buy this, and like when I go, you know, when I travel, I'm like, I can take it on the plane, you know. But
you won't be able to use it.
Oh, because it's only you have to connect.
Wi-Fi you need the PlayStation 5 on to play it. That's the stupid thing. It's like literally.
Well, you lost me. You lost me. You officially like, lost me.
Like $60 in the bargain bin. Bam, dude.
And maybe. It's like there's already things that can do that.
Like your phone can do that.
Yeah, there's remote play that you can have on your phone, iPad, tablet, whatever. The Steam Deck. People already modded the Steam Deck to be able to stream PlayStation Sony remote play to it using a third party system called Chiaki or something. So you can just do that already.
Hold on. Okay. So in order to play this thing, I would have to have my PlayStation 5 on at home while I play it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is the point of that?
Can you remotely turn it on if I remember correctly or no?
They haven't said that yet, but it's basically just I think they're selling it as like, oh, do you have one TV? You used all your money to buy one TV for the PlayStation 5? Here you go. Spend another $200 to be able to play it in the palm of your hand while your significant other watches Real Housewives while you're stuck on that.
Well, also using the Wi-Fi bandwidth. Yeah, oh, great. Yeah. Fucking
yeah, that,
great.
Yeah, that too. Yep. So, yeah, it's a niche. It's not... Like I said, if they would have even attempted to add some type of downloadable storage on it, then people would be like, oh fuck yeah, I can download God of War on this and play it like on the go, like give me that. But yeah, they're not gonna do that. They're doing it streaming only, and I think it's gonna crash and burn before
apparently my research wasn't up to date on this thing, so I want to apologize for that, first of all. Second of all, and then $200, $150, come on.
Yeah.
Boo earns. And see,
that's the other thing too, that right now people are already modding the Steam Deck or even that new one that came out from ROG about that. They right now it's limited to your own local area network, right? Like you have to be near home to play it, right? But people have been coding like the Chiaki system, the app, to be able to play it over bandwidth, to where you can turn on your PlayStation 5 at home, like using the app or something. Mm-hmm. And as long as that thing is on, you can use your Steam Deck or your whatever to connect to the PlayStation 5 over the internet and play your games that way.
Yeah.
So basically, fancy cloud streaming, which officially from Sony you can't do, but people are already hacking, or I shouldn't say hacking, they're modding their, you know, existing handhelds to do that.
For a lot less.
For free, basically. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, that if that thing's not priced correctly, it's just going to be a paperweight. And
Sadly,
it'd be a nice looking paperweight. It's got a clean 8-inch screen. Those weird little nubs.
At this point, it's like the $100. Like, just... I'm serious.
$100.
$100. $100 straight up. Be like, look, for that reason...
$200.
Yeah. For that reason alone, for it just to be like, okay, yeah, so you can use it while your PlayStation's on that somebody else can watch TV. Fine. $100. That's all I'm going to give you. And even that's kind of steep. Man. Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. Okay. So, but speaking of expensive paperweights, are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, people, moment of silence. Moment of silence right here. Mm-hmm. So, September 21st, 2023 will be the last day for our Call of Duty boys and girls to enjoy Warzone Caldera, the Modern Warfare 1 Battle Royale map, because it is going to be shut down after that day for good.
Por qué?
Activision. What more do you need to know? No, yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah. So, citing a real bullshit excuse that the team will be fully focused on going, you know, balls deep and full steam ahead with Warzone 2.0, they are saying goodbye to Caldera, which was free to play this entire time. And I believe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it did have a large player base still. Like, because people, people were like, all these shit that I bought for my Modern Warfare 1, you can't take it to Modern Warfare 2, Warzone 2.0.
Yep.
You have to still, it's still stuck there, right? So, and you would think Activision would kind of like give everyone and be like, hey, you know what, guys, we'll unlock all that stuff for you in Warzone 2.0. No, they went on record to officially say that the only way that you can play all that shit that you've been buying, skins, guns, what are those things called, charms, finishers, all that shit, you can only use it in the multiplayer versions of Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Black Ops, Cold War, and Vanguard. That's the only places you can play that.
And you can't use them in Warzone.
You cannot use them in Warzone 2.0. And yeah, this is kind of why. I mean, Activision is just, they pull some shit.
Yeah, Bubba, so, Microsoft, they're already doing the dirtiest shit they can do. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that this game is only 2 to 3 years old, I think. Yeah. It launched in 2020.
No, it was hot shit when it launched, but like, here's, enjoy your crumbs, you fucks. Like, that's the message.
Yeah, yeah, basically it's like, like I've said it over and over again, I just hate how some games nowadays are just rentals, dude. They're literally rentals. Everything that you bought for that game cannot be used anymore.
This, like, is as rental as it fucking gets. Holy shit. Oh, you know, that's mean.
I mean, we kind of experienced, James experienced that firsthand with Paragon back in the day on the PlayStation 4, you know? It's like, here's this fucking addictive-ass game, and here's some stuff to buy for it, and then we're like, oh, yeah, it's not making us money, so, yeah, we're just going to turn it off.
They did offer free refunds for everything that everybody purchased. So,
yeah, Paragon did, but not Activision.
No, yeah, what I'm saying is Paragon didn't stick it to everybody. They were like, all right, yeah, this sucks. We're sorry this is shutting down. Here's all your stuff back.
Activision ain't going to do that.
No, of course not. I was going to say, this is very reminiscent of that, too. Like, I was like, man, that really sucks because they focus all their energy on Fortnite. And we're like, okay, bye, Paragon. It was like the Toy Story meme. I don't want to play with you anymore.
I think the Jake Gyllenhaal meme when he's fucking saying, but
when he just kisses and walks out, dude. Yeah,
that was Paragon. Yeah. It was fun while it lasted, but it's still coming back. So there we go.
You know what's crazy? I think, I don't know if it was last episode or like two episodes ago, where I talked about another game that shut down. I think it was Knockout City.
Dodgeball.
Yeah. So when that shut down, though, the developers were like, look, we're sorry. We know this has a you know, a good following. We're just going to go ahead and give you guys the options to keep it running, you know, with private LAN servers and all that shit. They gave the players the options to where they're like, you know what? Here. Yeah, we're taking it offline. But if you pay for this game, then now it's yours. Go play with your friends. Do LAN parties. All that shit, which is what it should be. You know, like, it shouldn't be taken away from the internet forever. There should be a following for it, because people, if they really, really like it, will make a following.
But they won't spend money in Modern Warfare Warzone 2.
Exactly.
But they won't spend money there.
But there's no HBO.
There's no HBO.
Yeah. So, you know, during the PlayStation 3 and PSP days, there was actually a huge following for, like, these games that were being, the online was being taken out, which I believe even nowadays you can still, like, play them if you have that setup type of thing. I think it's called like X Link or Kai Link or something like that. I forgot what it was, but you know, people, if they want to play with other people, like fans of the games, they will find a way. And Activision isn't going to make that easy for them, because they're literally taking it offline. So
I brought it up before, that random penguin RPG that was like from a cereal box.
Yeah,
the hell it was. People kept that alive all the way to the end when they finally shut it down. But there were, it blew up. It was an MMO with penguins, and people literally kept it alive. It was it was basically like a gag game, and it got kept alive for years until they finally shut it down. So yeah, if people like something, they will keep it alive for as long as humanly possible.
See, so what? That's why they didn't add penguin skins to Warzone 1.0. Because I knew people would be motivated to keep it alive despite their biggest protests.
I kind of want to see. I haven't really. And what's crazy to me is I really haven't seen a crazy backlash to this And I know that some streamers, they went back to, you know, Caldera, Modern Warfare 1, just because of the movement or something, you know, because there was like, you know, Warzone 2.0 nerfed a lot of that shit to where you couldn't, you know, dolphin dive and all that shit. So people were going back to Caldera. So maybe, and this is just hypothetical or theory on my part, that maybe Activision was seeing that the numbers were going back to Caldera. They're like, no, fuck you guys. They're like, no, that ain't happening. You guys are staying on 2.0 and you're going to like it.
That is feasible.
That's probably what happened, because literally when it launched, I saw a lot of people online that were like, nah, I'm staying on 1. Yeah. And they were saying they were going to stay on 1 until it got shut down. And so they're probably, the millions of dollars that Activision had to spend to make Modern Warfare 2 and Warzone 2 possible, that's probably exactly what happened. They were like, well, we're not getting concurrent players, and we're losing a lot of money, so now we're just going to shut it down and force them to come to this one.
They're like, hey, boss, should we patch the game to, address players' grievances with our newest version of this game? Nah, just take the first one. Fuck them. That's the thought process. Yeah.
Well, and I actually saw too today when I was reading up on this, that someone was saying, he's like, oh, I might be putting on my tinfoil hat, but maybe, just maybe, Activision didn't fix the hackers in Warzone 1 because they don't give a fuck about you playing Warzone 1. They want you in Warzone 2, which it kind of ties back to what I said right now too. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, I wouldn't put it past it. If there's one company to do that, it's going to be Activision.
They're like, yep, let the bullshit fester. They will.
Yep.
They'll come. Anyways, real quick one over here. I just saw it on IGN. We shared a little bit earlier. Elder Scrolls, the next one, is half a decade away at least. Paddles us at all. Bethesda, what the fuck? What do you guys think, huh?
Yeah, and they wonder why. They wonder why they're losing. Or they're going to get, you know.
They, not only that, but they still don't know if it's going to be Xbox exclusive as well.
Oh, no?
No, they're still mulling around the idea of it being an exclusive. So, I mean, like,
with all the fucking war happening right now between those two companies, like, I don't know. But this is a big card to play. But, yeah. You know, Elder Scrolls itself, that's a moneymaker on everything. Like, that's just on Amazon Cloud, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They re-released the game, like, 10 times already, so...
I have, like, 3 versions of this fucking game.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm one of the goddamn plebes.
Yeah, me too. Totally.
But a half a decade away? I mean, obviously they're waiting to see how things play out with Sony and Microsoft, but... I don't know, like... I don't think Starfield's gonna sustain that level of hype all the way through. Fallout 4 didn't. Had a good 3, maybe 4-year run. Maybe.
Maybe because they were trying to make it like Minecraft and nobody gave a fuck.
No, it was fine. They just tried. They tried to show 76 on us, and that shit didn't work.
No, I'm telling you, man. When you put base building in a game that doesn't need base building, that's what you.
No, my bases were the shit. All right, you fuck off over there. My bases were fantastic. They got turrets and everything.
Yeah. Stupid. That's not what Fallout's about, but all right.
Mm-mm. Supply lines were good. Golden. People had uniforms. God, I want another one. Anyways, yeah.
I wish there was a way to mess with people's bases. I would have sent, like, a whole army of Deathclaws at yours.
Oh, my God, dude. And I would have been able to handle that shit next time. The first time would have got rocked, but I would have figured it out.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Elder Scrolls 6 is gonna look like, though. To be honest with you, like, I can't fathom it. So unless they really knock it out of the fucking park, I mean, this is, you know, where's the hype gonna be?
Yeah.
Who said they say, you know, they want games to catch up, technology to catch up, but 5 years is a long fucking time.
The technology you have now is gonna be fucking obsolete in 5 years, so it kind of is dumb for her. Let me know, you know, like that type of.
I mean,
very good point. Very good point.
If they're holding out because they're waiting for the next console, then sure, that makes sense. But I don't know. Whatever.
And whatever. There you go. I'm with that. That's a good summation right there. Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyways, that is the news. Now we got a couple leaky ass rumors over here to discuss, despite some trepidation over what's true or not here. Who wants to take
this one? You take it, LA boy. You're the LA boy.
Fuck it. I'll do it. E3 potentially dead for 2024 and 2025 and forever. I don't know, but according
forever.
Summer Game Fest, I don't want to play with you anymore. So, according to the LA Times Tourism Board, there will be no E3 in the city for the next 2 years. The show was canceled this year, as we all know. The ESA made a claim that, quote, no final decisions have been made regarding the plans for the show in LA. However, I think we can all see the writing on the wall. They are going to move the venue to San Bernardino.
Ew.
No, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen there.
I'm telling you, ever since COVID happened and everybody started doing these directs and showcases, that's what killed it. Like, there's no point. There's no point in, like, really, like, you know, why do it? Why wait? You know, why make everybody wait this long? Just throw out your directs, throw out your showcases, let us watch at home from comfort and comfort. And it's, I think it works out better.
You know, I think, I mean? So too. Yeah. The ESA, like, honestly, dude, nobody, it's just, what impressions are you going to get from people playing games, waiting however long to play the games?
Right.
And like it, that type of convention is honestly, it's just done.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like Comic-Con, you don't have to wait in line to go play games. There's so much going on that you can enjoy as a venue, and San Diego goes all out for it. It's been doing it for years. LA Live, I mean, it's fine. Downtown's really, really nice and all, but like, it's kind of a pain in the ass comparatively.
I think it's money too, where the companies didn't want to pay for renting the space.
Yeah,
you know, paying for marketing that they're gonna be. They're just like, fuck that. That money that we're spending to make them famous. Like, mm-hmm. like we said, we'll just do our own direct. Fuck it. It costs us less.
Yeah. They lose the spotlight competing against everybody else anyways. Why does it have to cost us such money to potentially get one up by someone else's announcement?
Yeah.
Makes no fucking sense.
I mean, the moment they included the public as well and they made it not a trade show, mm-hmm. that's what kind of screwed it over too.
Because yeah.
it's like, it was more of an exclusive thing that everybody got to hear about like after the fact or whatever, you know, so it was exciting for that reason. But then you have like Joe Schmo going and recording the whole thing on his freaking YouTube, so it just ruins the, the excitement about it too. So it's just like, just kill it, man. Like, just do the directs, do your showcases, and like, we're good. We're gonna watch them, and we're gonna be hyped still.
Yeah, give us demos. Final Fantasy 16 did it around the same fucking time as this, and guess what? More people bought the fuck out of that game.
Yep.
So just saying, there's still a chance. There's still a way to salvage all of this, but you can't do it with the ESA. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. All right, who's got the last one?
I'll do it, since it's, you know, Metal Gear Solid related. Mm-hmm. But Metal Gear Solid 4 may be exiting the PlayStation 3 jail, and it may be joining the Volume 2 of the remasters.
Ooh, I see that the Goodfellas scene with just Henry coming out.
Whoa, you popped your cherry.
So, due to some weird website shenanigans, it was leaked that Metal Gear Solid 4, 5, and Peace Walker will most likely be part of the second volume of remasters. This comes after it was revealed that Metal Gear Solid 4 once had an Xbox 360 port that ran surprisingly well. All I'm going to say is, no portable ops. Very disappointed, dude. I don't know what Kojima has against portable ops, but no, I'm just kidding. That's actually, you know, 4, 5 and Peace Walker, those are the main story games. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and Peace Walker, those are literally story events. So right. You know, portable ops, like I said, it's like the unsung redheaded stepchild sequel to Snake Eater. Mm-hmm. But Peace Walker did do everything better except boss fights. The boss fights in Peace Walker weren't anything to write home about, but Portable Ops was straight Metal Gear Solid 3 style boss fights. So that's my only, you know, like, ugh, with that one.
But we never know. It could actually just, this is what we know so far. There could be a lot more as part of the package.
It is.
Maybe we get Twin Snakes? Huh?
It is weird that they're adding 5 into that, because I feel like 5 is a kind of separate thing.
Yeah.
I feel like 4, Peace Walker, Portable Ops, and Twin Snakes should be in that and not 5.
What was their legacy-ass games? And 5 is really pretty recent, to be honest with
That's
you.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's not an older game, and it's not... It, I don't know. I feel like it's its own thing at this point. Like,
I'm with you on that one.
I'd be interested to see if they do Portable Ops as like a digital graphic novel, which I forgot they are including in the Volume 1 collection, which are, you know, those are kind of crazy type of things where it's like, if you don't want to play the game but you still want to experience the story, you can watch those. Mm-hmm. But there's still some interactive stuff in it, And the art style for that is just, that's literally the art, the artist that did Portable Ops cutscenes. So if they released the story as a digital graphic novel, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah.
So at least people can kind of see that what it was about. But yeah, you know.
I am pretty psyched, though, that 4 is going to get, like, I know people who were leaking this stuff before were, they didn't know, like, what, if 4 was able to make it or not. But after they revealed that there was a 360 port that ran really, really good that just never got released, suddenly we had a lot more speculation here on MGS4. So I think it might be that port is part of the DNA of the version that we're going to see. Who knows? Because I know the cell architecture is just almost impossible to fucking port. But 360 is a lot easier.
Yeah, they never made... They never... Kojima or... I'm sorry, not Kojima. Sony's dumbasses never really thought about future after the PlayStation 3. They were just like, yeah, let's just put this expensive-ass chip in there that we're not even going to use fucking 50% of. And then everyone was like, well, fuck, how do we even use this? That's why a lot of games just don't port well from the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, PlayStation 3 to, you know, other consoles.
Mm-hmm. The architecture's just totally fucked. But, I mean, again, if they have a 360 port that suddenly became part of the news cycle, I'm pretty sure that's going to be, like, the skeleton of what we're going to see, this newer version of it. But, you know, we'll find out when we find out. Well, but that's leaky rumor time. Now, what are you guys playing? What are you playing? I only have the same shit from last week.
Well, I'm about to go play another Claw.
So, I'm playing, obviously, I'm just never going to stop playing this game. It's just going to go on forever. It's Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom. I got a... me and Reeks were hanging out over here in L.A. Over the weekend, and I didn't realize I put 60 hours in this bitch. And jeez, he put 120 fucking hours. He's only done 2 dungeons, and I've done 1. Like, it's just impossible. But also... surprising shout out here. Fire Emblem just dropped on the GBA. Gave it a shot. Played it for, I don't know, an hour or something around then. Honestly, I think I've been missing out. Because the characters in this game are actually pretty fucking awesome.
Isn't it that piece of shit Roy that you used, dude?
Yeah, Roy's in there for sure. He's funny as fuck, too. And then also just the gameplay. I feel like this GBA version, I think it was the first one, it explains how to do it really, really well compared to some of the other ones, and I'm starting to like the systems in Fire Emblem quite a bit, actually, so I'm gonna keep my eye on this, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I had that downloaded on one of the Game Boy Advance emulators, and I think I messed around with it a little bit, and I was like, it's just crazy that that game was so old, but at the same time, you still see the blueprints nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, I've been meaning to check it out, too. I just, you know, too many games.
Dude, too many games, honestly. But I'm honestly very surprised by how good the story is for this particular Fire Emblem. I'm actually quite enjoying it. But, again, Zelda's got that pool, man. So, you know, it's just there. That's what I'm playing. How about you, James?
I am a slave to Diablo 4. Mm. That's what's going on. I am very deeply in it. I am to the point where... yeah, I'm just really deep in it. I'm very powerful in the game right now, and it's very fun, and I'm figuring out a lot of builds and stuff, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It's a lot of euphemisms going on there, man. Fucking
look, man, I'm doing my holy duty and slaying the hordes of hell and welcome everybody.
As this game penetrates my soul.
That's it. I wanted salvation all over my face.
Get on my knees and start pleasing, Chase. Yeah,
so when this episode comes out, comment and give me your gamer tag if you want to go roam around and destroy some shit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, sure.
I'm totally going to piggyback that and say I finally got Diablo 4 too, you know? Fuck fuck all the other games. You can take a little back burner now. But
I'm telling you, man. Once it grabs you, that's it, dude. You're done.
Yeah, it's like super, super good looking on the PlayStation 5. I had issues. Oh, yeah. I heard, you know, this past weekend they were saying that the servers were getting attacked, but I was out of town anyways, so...
yeah, massive hack.
It was down for like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
I don't know, maybe.
It was probably on and off, but that's the thing that my only gripe or, you know, think like review of it or criticism of it would be the fact that it has to be online only, where Diablo 3 wasn't. And, you know, it's probably money that they want it to be, you know, online all the time so they can just...
Well, there's a lot of stuff that happens because it's online, like events and...
Oh, okay. See, I haven't
there's
got
a,
to that
There's
part.
A world boss and world events that you can play and you get really high gear. So it's a whole thing. But I get why it's only online, but yeah.
But it would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it's like that thing where it's... If you have a bunch of douchebags wanting to DDoS Diablo just because they want to make a name for themselves, now it fucks up for everyone else, you know? But I haven't experienced that yet. I don't know if it's going to happen, knock on wood, but just from what I've played, I'm only like an hour and a half in, but yeah, that, that beginning intro sucked me in, and then I did one little dungeon by myself to get a feel for it, and I was like, oh yeah. So I was, you know, got that over the weekend, and then I'm also wrapping up a little game I've been playing on the down low lately, Max Payne 3 on the PC. Damn. Which is like John Wick before it was John Wick, and I just forgot the set pieces from that game because it's just like, goddamn, it's so good, and I can't wait for them to remaster 1 and 2, like officially, and come out with that shit, because Max Payne 3 is like you're literally playing Man on Fire with Denzel, you know, the whole like fucking fighting against the cartel and the music and all that shit, the trippy visuals. So yeah, I'm like on the last chapter of that one, so.
Yeah, Max Payne, I remember, even 3, like, they've been such critically acclaimed, like, darlings for Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
And they left it at 3. They didn't have to go back and exploit any of that shit,
Yep. It's like Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5's shooting, but, like, fine-tuned. Like, it's just so much more satisfying to do the headshots and the slow motion and...
Like the game's designed around the shooting rather than designed around the world building, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really good. If I'm playing it on the PC, but I think I remember playing it on the Xbox 360. That's how old this fucking game is. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, it still holds up.
All right. Well, when it comes to the gaming win of the month, mine this month actually is, it's gonna be the Japanese legacy franchise renaissance that we experienced this year in particular. And I saw it was a Reddit comment thread that really brought this apparent to me. Everybody was talking about, like, dude, all these games from the old Nintendo PlayStation era, back when it was just these two, all those franchises that birthed from there, they're all coming back bigger than fucking ever. Resident Evil's had one of his best games ever done again. Final Fantasy 16 is reviewing astronomically. And of course you got Zelda. It just overall, it feels like Japanese developers are showing everybody this year how it's fucking done. So respect to them. I don't know when this train's gonna end. So whatever games are coming out this fall, we'll see if they can all be like this. But, you know, with these developers in tow, I think we're gonna have probably one of the best gaming years ever. And I don't have enough time for it. Yeah, that's mine.
I agree.
What about you, James?
Elephant Mario.
Yeah, okay. That's,
just Elephant Mario. Mm-hmm. I mean, watching the Super Mario Wonder trailer and ending with Elephant Mario made me laugh really hard. And I'm like, I wasn't even, honestly, I was like, yeah, okay, it's cool, it's another Mario game, but just with that, now I'm gonna buy it. So,
I don't even know what his fucking power is.
It doesn't matter. He's an elephant.
He's gonna push shit over, dude.
Yep.
There you go.
If he doesn't spray water out of his trunk, missed opportunity.
Water if we're lucky. Oh,
shit.
Wow.
And then mine ties into that too with the whole Super Mario RPG remake announcement coming out of nowhere.
Yep.
Like, it was out of nowhere. Yeah, we did think that it was gonna be Thousand Year Door, but hey. If you can't get Thousand Year Door, Super Mario RPG is the next best thing, because that game is amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't wait to see some of these fucking bosses remastered, honestly. Because those bosses are cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, what a game. Now, it's failure time, though. This one was just announced today, and big time fail. The Perfect Dark franchise, man. It's still years away. We've only had one follow-up to the OG, which was a brilliant game. One of the premier N64 shooters. Very influential, very sci-fi, very good. Probably Rare's last amazing game. And they have just dropped the ball for like 20-something years. And we're probably not going to see it until the game's almost 30? Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I don't know what Microsoft did buying Rare, but when they were under Nintendo, at least they got shit done. Microsoft, whatever the fucking guidance you have over this company, like, it's not working. And Perfect Dark is a perfect example of that bullshit. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my fail. Perfect Dark. Joanna Dark, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go? I want to go.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so, I mean, I know this is probably beating a dead horse, but I'm going to keep talking about how stupid Starfield sounds. So, initially, and being a media writer, I understand that the media can take things and, you know, go a little crazy with them, but initially it was announced that Starfield would have no physical copies. So, initially, everybody was like, what the hell, that's stupid, right? But in typical Microsoft and Bethesda trying to clean this up, they also they revealed that the only physical copies will be part of the Starfield Standard Edition, but the expensive Premium and Constellation editions will not have the copy. Instead, people will be gifted a shiny empty steelbook case.
Oh,
so
no.
Instead of like just giving a code, which fine, but they're gonna give everybody a steelbook case anyway with no fucking physical copy. So again, what the hell are you guys doing? Come on, man. Like, really?
I bet you they didn't even plan to do the Xbox Standard Edition one. Right now they're like, okay, factory, we need to order like a couple million of these fucking things right now because we were getting some shit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's planned.
And then they made it hopelessly more complicated because it's like, okay, well, yeah, we're going to give physical copies, but, oh, people who order the $200, $300 version, whatever, we're going to get you the steelbook case. You can open it and see where a disc could be held, but you're not getting that disc.
That shit is so dumb to me, too. Ragnarok did that. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man's doing that. Horizon's done that. It's just so dumb.
It's like selling phones without chargers. Yeah. Sell the phone without the fucking charger now. I'm still mad at it. I like having a shit ton of chargers around the house, okay? Let me be a wasteful American. Come on.
I mean, I understand that maybe this is like they don't want people trading the game in or whatever the case, that if that's the case. But, I mean, people are paying, you know, a couple $100s for this collector's edition. I better get a disc for that.
Like, yeah. Really. Yeah. And then what, you go get the disc yourself? What, you get two boxes now? What are you going to do with the spare box?
Yeah.
That's how they get you, man. They want to make as much money as possible. Yep. With the least amount of effort. So it's like, yeah, we're good on the disc. They'll still buy it, which is bullshit. But I can't lie too much. I got suckered into that with the Ragnarok one just because of the Thor hammer, but still.
I mean, I get why you bought that. I get it.
Yeah, you can hit somebody with the hammer, dude. I'm still with it.
You can hit Santa Monica Studios for not giving you a physical copy.
Yeah, I would have liked a fucking disc too, but it's fine, I guess.
Oh my god, the new story of the hammer in the fucking window of Santa Monica Studios, and they're arresting Cordova right outside. Yeah. Like, that's bullshit.
So my fail though is the shutdown of Warzone. But did you guys know that Black Ops 4's blackout mode is still up? The very first original Battle Royale for Call of Duty is still up and running.
Wow.
But they're shutting down Warzone. So that right there just shows you that it's all for Activision wanting the money that people are playing Warzone 1. They want it for Warzone 2.0.
Yep.
Damn, which is bullshit. So we got to bring in the Blackout migration movement then, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't surprise me if there's people that go to Blackout and then watch. Mark the calendars, boys and girls. In about 6 months from now, we're going to have another news that says Call of Duty is now shutting down Blackout, and the only battle royale that is available is Warzone 2.0, and you will like it and you will love it, you will give them your money
and you will rebuy those costumes, bitch. You're gonna rebuy them fucking costumes.
Right.
Who wants it? Ain't me. I'm in there.
No, I wrote it for you, Flynn. I wrote it especially for you.
With mine. Okay, fine. Nintendo shareholder meeting disrupted by quote unquote ranting Splatoon 3 fan. God damn it. A hardcore Nintendo fan that puts our own me to shame. Disrupted Nintendo's annual shareholder Q&A session. The fan who purchased $3,500 worth of Nintendo stock ranted and raved about why the Splatoon boys have less customization options than the Splatoon ladies. The ranting was so long that Nintendo president Shuntaro Furukawa interrupted to tell the fan his question was too long. Side note, this is a different fan than the one last year who also purchased Nintendo stock for the sole purpose of asking when a new F-Zero game is coming out. Nintendo, when is a new F-Zero game coming out? Come on. I don't give a shit about Splatoon. Give me some fucking F-Zero.
People care this much about Splatoon? Like,
dude, they are making Nintendo richer with all these fucking buys anyways. Oh,
man. That's why it's so absurd, is the fact that these fools have $3,500 laying around to be like, you know what? I'm going to fucking talk shit to the Nintendo president. Like,
hey, Furukawa, fuck you, man. Where's this fucking... Where's my fucking clothes options? I'm a boy.
He's like,
man.
Okay, so as I noticed, the women in Splatoon 3 have like 10 different dresses.
And... Yeah, that's pretty much...
Yeah.
That's what he was saying.
Bro. No, he probably sounds more like Ben Shapiro. He's like, hypothetically, there should be equal amounts of options for both boys and girls. And I don't understand. This is some woke nonsense.
So what was crazy is that the person on Twitter came forward and said it was him, right? I believe he is a Japanese person, citizen, I don't know. His tweet was in Japanese, okay, that someone had to translate, and he posted pictures, though, of the Q&A session and all that. But he said that he raised that money by pretty much scalping Nintendo Switch consoles and games and all that shit. So, worst of the fucking worst, dude.
So you're a piece of shit, and then you go do a piece of shit thing? Like, come on, dude.
He said that he resold Nintendo OLED Switches and Nintendo products to raise that money to ask Nintendo that. So it's kind of like, I mean, he's like, fuck you, Nintendo, but at the same time, he's like, here's money, Nintendo? Like, I mean, I don't know.
Okay,
it's like,
all right. Nintendo have arrested people for less. Nintendo arrest this man immediately.
Like, nah, he paid his bail with that stock buyback right there. That's what he fucking...
I literally thought that it was the same guy from last year. But
it would
it
be
wasn't.
Great if it was a recurring segment
from this
fucking guy.
I was going to say, watch, next year it's going to be another person that bought Nintendo stock. He's going to ask something stupid like, hey, where's our 1,000-year door remake?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Don't give James any ideas here, dude.
For anybody that hears this episode, when it comes out, if you are $20 shy of your goal to travel to Japan to talk to Shuntaro Furukawa, I will gladly Venmo you that $20 and ask them when we're getting a 1,000-year door remake. Thank you. I will help fund that trip with $20.
Oh, and can you also ask when Star Fox is coming back, please? And
or
don't
if
have
we really...
change Slippy's voice actor. If we
or if we really are done with Smash.
Oh
yeah!
Oh yeah! No, dude.
But yeah. So, but now we know. If we want those questions ourselves, we just have to raise $3,500, boys, and then
there
we can buy some stock.
There you go.
Get up on those shareholder meetings.
I'm gonna start a GoFundMe, and it's just gonna say, "Help me fly to Japan to say fuck you, Nintendo." And I'm gonna see if I can raise the money.
We gotta throw all the grievances out there too, all of them. Just
tell me what your grievances with Nintendo, and then raise the money for me, and I will go and I will represent you people, the little guys.
You're like, oh, they're still actually really pissed about the Splatoon boys clothes options again. Holy shit!
It's that same guy.
It's the same guy. He signed with a lot of usernames. Okay.
It's just fucking. It's crazy to me that a normal fan can get interrupted by the president of Nintendo just to say, hey, this is going on too long. And he just keeps ranting and raving like
you want to like get a girlfriend, buddy? Maybe
like the Patton Oswalt fucking Star Wars.
Oh my god, yes.
That's what I pictured when I was reading this, dude.
I would like to say that we saw Tommy Wiseau live do this.
That's
as well.
True.
And he kept interrupting people and telling them their questions were stupid. So we get it.
So that means next year Nintendo have Tommy Wiseau as
the moderator
for sure at the next shareholder meeting. I think it'd be okay.
No wonder. Don't stop wondering.
Why don't you buy better clothes for yourself? What are you doing?
Why you go out and make a film? Why you worry about this? Stupid.
All right. That is enough, guys. We did it. We made it through. That's NPC episode 9, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, if you discovered this online, you can find us on IG at npc.gaming.pod. This is all part of the Horrible People's Network. I am Anthony, your host. I also work on the Horrible People's Podcast. Which is another one of the shows here with all of our lovely hosts. So, James, where can people find you?
You can find me here, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you can also find me sometimes being a guest on the Horrible People's Podcast. But they haven't called me in a while, and it's fine. But, you know, whatever. And then...
We haven't finished the schedule yet, James.
And then also, for people that listen to this podcast, which I'm sure are probably nerds who like gaming, I am also on a live play D&D podcast on the Horrible People's Network called the Turning Tables Podcast. You can listen to me voice Siegfried, who is a pirate lord barbarian.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I'm only here, guys. Sorry. Okay. And sometimes on the Horrible People's Podcast. But that's true. Like James said, we haven't been invited back since that big fiasco with Dale. That, what was it? 5-6 man, maybe? I forgot what it was, man. But yeah, that was it was like a 5-person just fucking Royal Rumble, man.
That was a doozy. But they're definitely, we are actually wrapping up our 5th season on Horrible People's Podcast. So we'll be taking a month break on that show, but we're coming back with a lot more episodes in the fall. So, with that, guys, nothing more to top off here. Adios. Adios, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Peace.